Please turn to page 128, I believe, in your liturgy book if you want to follow along. So this reading today is from Paul's second letter to Timothy. And he wrote this letter from Laodicea. The second letter, actually, he wrote his first letter to Timothy from Laodicea. The second letter he wrote from Rome when he was now a prisoner. Nero had bound him in chains. And in his first letter, Paul had said that he was hoping to come and visit Timothy and speak with him in person, but that became impossible because he was imprisoned, and therefore he wrote him this second letter. And this epistle contains advice, exhortations, and teachings that are very appropriate for all Christians, but especially for bishops and supervisors of the church, which Timothy was in the church of Ephesus. In today's lesson, we read that Paul does three things. One, he asserts that Timothy has observed and imitated his virtues, and then he goes on to enumerate some of those things, that virtues. Secondly, he states that all who wish to live according to the precepts of the true faith will undergo persecution by ungodly and evil people, and that these evil people and deceivers will go on from bad to worse. And three, he teaches that knowledge of the Holy Scripture is able to guide a person on the road to salvation. So in the first couple of lines, it says, Timothy, my son, you have observed my teaching, my conduct, etc. So some people take the verb observe literally, and they understand it to mean that you, Timothy, have followed me everywhere and you observed me. You saw, you know, what I did. You saw my teaching. You heard my teaching, my lifestyle, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my love and my patience, etc., etc. And you observed, you know, how all I was persecuted in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, as it says, and that the Lord rescued me from all these things. But if you take the verb observe a little figuratively to mean imitate, we get a slightly different meaning. And it would be like, you, Timothy, you're not like those men who are of a corrupt mind, but you are sensible, a loyal disciple. You have observed and imitated the guilelessness of my teaching, my Christian lifestyle, my correct purpose, my steadfast faith in Christ, my forbearance towards those who have sinned, my love for all, and my endurance in the persecutions that befell me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. This means that Timothy had become not just a witness, but also like a guardian of the divine doctrines, and that he too had led a God-pleasing life, and that he too had a holy purpose, and that he was forbearing, loving, patient, and all the virtues that Paul had sort of modeled, that Timothy not only observed these, but was imitating them. So we kind of have that witness of Paul about Timothy. Paul mentions the persecutions in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra specifically because those are the ones that Timothy saw. There were other persecutions that Paul had, but Timothy was not an eyewitness of those because although he was a disciple of Christ, he had not been following Paul at those times. So Paul actually had more persecutions in other places, but he lists those. And why does Paul add, from them all the Lord rescued me? Well, he does that because later in his epistle, he will teach that all who wish to live a godly life will be persecuted. He wants to remove the fear that this might provoke, and so he affirms the consolation that also comes with persecution. In other words, don't be afraid when you hear about persecutions, because I endured them, so many persecutions, and the Lord preserved me and delivered me from them all. Then he says that famous line, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And this saying of Paul's is prophetic, not only prophetic, but it's a fulfillment of the prophecy of Jesus Christ, who said, this is what Jesus said, before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. Gospel of Luke. So the Lord said these things were going to happen, and indeed they happened to Paul and to the other apostles. Now, then's the other famous line, evil men and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceivers and deceived. And I think that among the other things that are going on in this epistle, maybe this is one of the reasons why it was selected for today, today being the Sunday of the publican and the Pharisee and the, you know, opening of the triodium period. And maybe it's sort of like saying, you know, kind of like the Pharisee, you know, although Paul didn't know that because the Gospels hadn't been written yet, you know. But anyway, so the Pharisee maybe is a representative of one of these people who, you know, anyway. But evil men and imposters, deceivers and flatterers, will go on from bad to worse. That is, they will increase and multiply their sins. How they will go from bad to worse? By being deceived by their own passions, their own pride, their own lust, their own ways of thinking that aren't according to God, and by deceiving the simple-minded people with their ideas, by fair and flattering words, as he says in Romans. Such evil men and imposters were various heretics, even in the time of the apostles, obscure names that only if you're a Bible scholar, you'd Simonians, the Simonians, the Basilidians, the Nicolaitans, all the way down to the Arians and Nestorians and all the other heresies, they probably have a similar source of people being deceived by their own passions, not being purified, and then deceiving other people. And then he says to Timothy, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Paul exhorts Timothy to remain firm and unshaken in what he had learned and firmly believed, namely the doctrines of the Christian faith and all the precepts of the Gospels that he was taught. Paul tells Timothy that there are two things supporting him in this being constant, and then namely is his teacher, meaning himself, Paul, knowing from whom you heard it, and also his knowledge of Holy Scripture, which his grandmother and mother had taught him from the time he was a child. And by the way, there was no New Testament at that time. Okay, this letter was written in the year between 65 and 67, and the Gospels, you know, hadn't been written. So we're talking about through faith in Jesus Christ, understanding the Old Testament scriptures and being led to salvation through that. So also take note that of Paul's humility. Paul did not say to Timothy, knowing that you learned it from me, the illumined apostle who was called from heaven. He simply said, knowing who you learned it from. And Timothy knew who he learned it from, and he knew the virtues of who he learned it from, and he knew the things that his teacher had suffered, so that was sufficient. Paul didn't need further to recommend himself to Timothy. And also notice that the Old Testament, like I just said, leads to salvation, but as Paul says, through faith in Christ Jesus. Without this faith, however, the concepts contained in the Old Testament remain obscure, as Paul said elsewhere. For to this day, they remain the old. When they read the old covenant, that same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. So we leave today with several messages, but as it being the opening of the Triodion period, one, we want to know that it's going to be difficult if we do it. And two, we have the support, you know, of our teachers and those who have gone before us as examples, whether it's live or whether it's through writings and the books that, you know, we're recommended to read, and that knowledge and study of the scripture is not only beneficial but very saving and supporting in all our Christian life, and especially now during Lent. Let's stand and pray now.